So what I have to share this morning is a lot of what Randy just had to say, which I don't know how many of you believe in coincidences, but I feel like God's leading things. I was all week thinking of a totally different teaching to bring here this morning, and just a little background. Friday night, got involved in kind of a debate that got a little too heated on politics. Saturday, my dad wanted to argue with me all day about politics, and then last night he wanted to have a text battle with me about it while I was trying to do this, and this totally shifted my thought process this morning. So it's titleless message. Title it Kingdom of Peace. And the peace that I'm talking about is a peace of heart, peace of mind, not getting worked up about what's going on in the world, to live above it, to rise above it. Well, I'll try to stick to the script. I'm not very good at that, but some things I wrote down here. So this message is an admonishment to myself. Lately, I've given a lot of time and mental energy thinking and talking and even arguing about the affairs of Satan's kingdom. There's a lot of contention and strife out there, and it mostly revolves around ideology, and God's people can get pulled to one side or another. But as citizens of God's kingdom, we ought to live above the issues of the world. We ought not let ourselves get worked up over what the world is doing around us. We have one unified ideology, and that is bringing people into God's kingdom. If we really commit ourselves to that, it leaves little room or time for the world's issues. God would have us live above the fear and the political and ideological strife around us. His is a kingdom of peace. So I'm going to go through and read some verses and have a little comment on most of them as I go. Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. They shall be called the children of God." There are people who can be totally at peace and have two different points of view talking, but if it goes into debating, you're kind of probably over the line of being a peacemaker, I'm thinking. I mean, there may be a way to do that, but it's probably not where we ought to spend our time. Acts 10:34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." And I think that peace is not obviously that everything's going to be peaceful out there, but it's peace in our hearts, peace and confidence in God that he is running things, that his kingdom is ultimately in control, or our king is ultimately in control. And Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses there. Just really the opening of the letter to the Romans. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He often opens his letter with a kind of a blessing, a hope of peace for his people. Romans chapter 2, 1 through 10. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of righteousness, and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, and of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Chose these issues just for the these verses for, you know, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, that there's tribulation and anguish. Contention, indignation, wrath, and anguish all seem to go together often. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good. I know that it's describing peace between man and God, but that it's also peace with each other and with your fellow man. It says not to judge. You know, people have judged or made judgments or talked about each other. You know, this person feels this way or this person feels that way. Even among the church, there's arguments. You know, if it's not sin, if somebody just is following what they feel is right, we can't find reason to say nay against it in the Bible, we really ought to be at peace with them, and whether it differs from us or not. Romans 3, 9 through 20. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but let every man be a liar. As is written, that the mightiest be justified in thy sayings, and the mightiest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm going to keep going. Not yet. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their words can be poison. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their eyes, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. For we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, when we get all worked up, when we get caught up in the ways of the world, I think we're being dragged down and weighted down into the flesh, or instead of rising above it in the spirit. Romans 8, 1 through 14. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the unrighteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have the Spirit of Christ, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's interesting. There's lots of sin we can talk about in the flesh, but it's interesting at the end. It says, if you mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It brings us right back to the first verse I read. Anybody remember what that was? What's that? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I just found that interesting. That after this whole list, this ends up with, for as many as are led by the Spirit shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers are called the children of God. So I'm going to move on to Romans 10. And anyway, that is also just, I think, like I was saying, if we get caught up in the world's affairs, we're being dragged down in the flesh. We want to live above it. We want to represent Christ, his kingdom, be his ambassador in whatever conversation, whatever's going on. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of goodness. Again, that's the gospel of peace, a peace between God and man that we need to share. But it's also, it extends to peace between man and man. We ought not get weighted with with all the arguments of the world and the kingdom of the world and what they're doing. We're to rise above it, to go and share the gospel of peace and bring people into God's kingdom. And we're not going to bring people into God's kingdom through our politics, through political ideology, through a conservative lifestyle. It's Jesus, and that's our... Well, I wrote down my reference wrong here, so I'm trying to find something. Bear with me. Okay, I'll move on. It's interesting. Did note that throughout Paul, often he opens in. Closes his letters often with a wish or a blessing of peace for his people. First Corinthians 1:3, I think. No, I had it written down wrong. We'll move on. Oh, the end of 1 Corinthians 13, toward the end. Nope. Sorry, I'm getting 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, finally, my brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I just think, you know, a lot of his letters, he ends and starts with a wish for peace, and this one he actually gives the admonishment, live in peace. I think that it's significant that he opens almost and closes almost always his letters with a kind of a hope for the believers to live at peace, a kind of blessing, and also sometimes just point blank admonishment. We go to 1 Timothy 2, starting chapter verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Instead of complaining, railing against political leaders, says to pray for them. And we ought to take that to heart, I think. It's a real challenge. It is for me. I know I can easily get drawn into things going on, but we really ought to think about and try to live above it. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. It's rarely shown in debate. Good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, that's often shown in debate. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I've seen and even been a part of mocking political leaders or just stupid little memes on the internet that mock people who have a different political point of view. That does not show conversation with meekness and good works. It's not peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. It's not the wisdom that descendeth from above. It's easy to get drawn into, and they can be funny, and a lot of times they might represent a bigger truth, but it's really probably not what we ought to be paying attention to. And again, I'm guilty of it. I'm not. This is for me. Romans 12. I'm just going to read this whole chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When we mock other people's beliefs and ideas, we probably are thinking highly, more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We probably have had really dumb ideas in the past. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member and every one members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Be of the same mind one toward another. You know, we're not going to be of the same mind about a lot of what's going on. Like, if we are single-minded about being in the kingdom and bringing others into the kingdom, we can be unified, be of the same mind. You know, we need to let difference of opinion happen on other stuff. It really doesn't matter. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest to the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. the powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, the authorities, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, fear to fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, there is going to be a time where we have to defy the government to represent Christ, I assume. And if people feel like that time has already come, I think we need to give people some leeway in figuring out these things and where we're at, and not condemn one another. But in most cases, if it's not a direct contradiction to God's word, we need to obey the government because it leads for a more peaceful life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that will labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all evil appearance. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. All right, I'm just going to just feel like there's a lot there. You know, it talks about the times and the tribulations that they're going through there. It just, that whole chapter just reminded me of things that are going on today. So I'm going to end in John 14. 26 and 27. I think this is kind of a key to everything I spoke about. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I'll just leave it there. Let's not let our hearts be troubled by the world, its shakings, its wrath, its endeavors, all the strife going on. Let's represent the God of peace and bring people into the kingdom of peace and live and speak above the fray. Thank you.